Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 21st of August, 2009, and the time is 9:19 a.m. If I could ask you to tell us your name, your age, and where you come from, please.
Sally, my name is Gordon Dixon, I'm 37, and I come from Glasgow.
Thank you. Tell us when it was you first found out about the One Another Project.
What it was is a friend of mine who's a playwright had signed up already for the project. I think he appeared back in July. I saw his message on Facebook, went to the site to have a wee look. I'd heard a bit about it. Obviously knew about Anthony Gormley a lot beforehand, and saw how easy it was, how interesting. The next minute I found myself pressing the apply button, and lo and behold, sort of let her back that I was... I've been selected to appear today, which is the 21st of August. So fortunately for me, I was down visiting my parents in England last weekend, so sort of extended my trip down south to today so that I could come down to sunny London and stand up on the plinth for an hour.
So what is it you're going to be doing when you're up on the plinth?
I have come down with my bicycle, my Brompton folding bike, which is British-made bicycle, which folds down into a small amount of space so that you can take it on the train. So it's a great commuter bike, and I am going to open it up and unfold it and fold it a couple of times as a celebration of a commuter, which is why I've dressed in a suit today, and I've got my bicycle clip as well. So I'm going to do that. This was at the end of a long list of things that were ticked off one by one. So I was thinking about performing a play because I used to work in theatre, but when my friend had done it, I thought, no, let's cross that one off. The next one was a suggestion of my friends was to dress up as a pigeon, which would have been fun for them. I'm not sure how much fun it would have been for me. The next one that I crossed off the list was dressing up as Napoleon. If we're in Trafalgar Square and we've got Nelson there, and I thought that would be quite fun, but again, sort of coming down on the train from near Leicester this morning may not have, would have turned a few eyes if you kind of dressed up as a French general or something like that. So I decided, I'd spoken to somebody on the telephone when you guys phoned me up and had a conversation there, and it was about picking something that I was interested in, I was passionate about. That's when I decided to bring my bike along and celebrate choosing alternative forms of transport to get around a city, something that's not owning a car, but using a bike or going on the bus or taking the train or taking the tube. And so that's what I thought I'd do. Bromptons are compared to being the Apple Macs of bikes. So people that have them are very passionate about them. So you can go on YouTube and you see people just when you first get one, all you want to do is fold it and unfold it and show your friends, and it's very easy to do. It's only a couple of seconds. So on YouTube, there's people just film themselves saying, look at my new bike, and open it up and close it again. So that seemed like a fun thing. Having resisted the temptation to do it when I got it, I thought, why not do it in front of people today? So that was my idea.
And can you expand on the cause on this, you know, not owning a car and you know, using alternative forms of transport? What does that mean to you? Where's that come from?
I think it's what's really important to me is green issues or environmental concerns. What's different as a political cause is that other political movements in the past, there was very little you could do beyond protesting to try and change a situation. So various different kind of political movements was about the individual sort of expressing themselves to try and change society. Although that's an important part of green politics, what's interesting, exciting for me, is that you can also make your own small steps towards changing your own behaviour, and that is as much a statement as going on a march or signing up for an organisation. So by caring about what you eat, where the food comes from, how you travel around the country, you know, where you source your energy supply from, and consuming certain items and consuming less, then you can live your life to the way that you believe and advocate that as well. And it certainly connects again with you, how you can sort of try and make things better. And so the serious concerns that have been through my lifetime, you know, since I was a teenager, learning about what started off as acid rain, then became the greenhouse effect, and now then became sort of global warming and is now climate change. The name has changed, but it's becoming more and more increasingly important. It's fun. I've been vegetarian for over half my life. My parents, you know, just used to constantly complain and moan about it. I think it was because I decided to become vegetarian on the day my mum and dad had just done a big weekly shop. So they weren't very pleased about that. And I think it still rankers with them 20 years later. But what's great is you can make a personal choice. I used to moan at my parents about recycling, and now I was home visiting them the other day and they've got three different bins and they sit there and put the plastics in one and put the paper in the other, and I was dismissed as kind of a sort of weird hippie for doing that, you know, when I was younger. So things are moving on, and I think it's because people are being able to choose to live their life in a different way, which both expresses their values but also advocates a way of doing it, and it's more fun, it's healthier. I don't need a gym membership because I bike to work or bike to my friends. What's great about a folding bike is that you can ride to the pub, fold it up, sit it under the table, have a couple of beers, get a taxi home. You know, that's the great thing about it.
And can you tell us the story about your Brompton? When did you get your Brompton, and why did you get a Brompton?
Right, it's what happened was is that I used to have a flat in Glasgow, which is where I live. And I had finished working and decided to sell my flat, pay off my debts, and go travelling. So before I kind of sort of went and bought the ticket to go away, I treated myself to a nice thing, and that was the Brompton. And so what I did is got in touch with guys on a website, and you were able to pick out the different bits of it. So I got different types of handlebars, and you got different type of seat, and you can pick the colour. So I've got British Racing green as opposed to standard black. So you know, all these things are already, again, like the, you know, it's the Apple of bikes. So you start to pick all these things out. So I ordered it up, and it came only about a month before I was ready to go away. So actually I only got to ride it a couple of times that summer before I went travelling. So I left it with my cousin. So he got the benefit of it for the kind of sort of 6-7 months that I was away, which meant that when I got back, took my bike back, he then got his own one. So he's got one as well now, which resulted last summer in us cycling from Glasgow through to Edinburgh for the Pedal for Scotland trip. And actually in a couple of weeks' time, as a response to being up standing still for an hour here today, I'm going to take the bike route along the Forth Clyde Canal through Falkirk, which should take me a sort of big chunk of a day. So I thought that would be a fun kind of counterbalance to what I'm doing today, which is standing still with the bike in the middle of the city. And then it would be nice to kind of go on a little sort of bike ride. It should be quite flat as well if it's a canal. I'm looking forward to that too. So it's small wheels, it doesn't do hills very well. So that's quite good.
Can you tell us about the travelling then that you did? You said you went away for 6 or 7 months, but where did you see?
Right, yes, they'll try and do the quick version of it. What happened was is that I, leading up to going away, I thought I was just going to get one of those round the world air tickets and visit lots of different places. I got friends in Australia who had just had a baby, so I wanted to go out and see them. So I had that in my mind, and then I read George Monbiot's book about global warming, about climate change, and at the end of it, I went, you know, I feel really bad now about taking a flight, but you can't get a bus to Australia. So in a sort of, again, a kind of random sort of sitting at the computer moment, like signing up for this, it was Googling buses to Australia, and found out that there was a bus from going from London to Sydney, starting off actually down at the embankment. The last time I was in Trafalgar Square was the day before I set off on that trip. So it was a company called Ausbus, and what it was is that there was two buses going, this is autumn 2007, and I signed up for it and went on that instead. So went on a bus that set off from London and went through Europe, which involved my first ever visit to France, which was rather strange. Yeah, so I'd been to some of the places along the way, but it was the very first country we got to. It was the very first time I'd been to France, which was kind of odd. And then we went through Turkey, Iran, Pakistan, North India, up to Nepal, to Kathmandu, across to Darjeeling and down to Calcutta. We then waved the bus goodbye and that travelled back. We took a quick flight over to Bangkok and then travelled through Southeast Asia, another flight from Bali down to Darwin and then straight for Australia and set up in Sydney just before Christmas, which was just incredible. So it was a real thrill to do that and experience travel in different ways, and the things do join up, and it was a little bit more expensive than getting a trip, sort of flight around the world, but it was certainly an incredible experience and a great way to meet people not only on the journey but to see a change in landscape and realise that, you know, in the same way as getting off at St Pancras today, that you can end up without flying in, you know, places very, very far away from you, which is really quite thrilling. It was soul-destroying to travel back by plane over the route that I'd taken, you know, a few months before. And certainly there was a pledge there never to try and fly again.
Great, thank you. Tell us a little bit about then your background, what you do for a living. You mentioned that you worked in theatre before.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that, and where's that kind of brought you to now?
Okay, I grew up in a place called Corby, which is a small town in Northamptonshire, a steel town. Lots of people from Scotland moved there to work in the steel town. It closed down, and so instead of just aiming after school to go and work in the steelworks, there was the chance to you were going to have to do something else because there were no jobs around. So I went to uni down here in London and studied philosophy and classics, studied philosophy and classics down in North London, and that was a great time. I really loved being in London, but maybe I loved it a little bit too much, so it was a chance to kind of do something else. So I moved to Scotland and Glasgow, which is where my dad's family came from originally, where that person was just phoning from. And what happened was I started working in the arts. Started off in a cinema as an usher, and working in the bar, and then moved on through to becoming the building manager at the Citizens Theatre, which is this great, incredible theatre in the south side of Glasgow that puts on lots of plays. I was a building manager there, and that was a real thrill and real experience to go and work there. And after that led me on to other theatre work as an administrator and as a producer as well. And then sort of after about 10 years of doing that, I realised that it was a lot of fun, but very exhausting as well as rewarding. And it was time for a change. And that's what led me on to doing that. But having been away, I sort of returned to Scotland and realised that I didn't have a job or somewhere to live or any money left. So it was a chance to try and do other things. So what I've been doing at the moment has been training people to work in call centres. And it's about developing experience ready to go and teach English as a foreign language abroad to get back out there. I got the travel bug, as you can imagine, going on that journey. So I want to take the Brompton and cycle around a few more places around the world. So that's the plan from now on.
And what places have you thought you might like to return to or experience for the first time?
That's the thing, is there's going back to all the places that you visited already, but also then realizing that there's all those other places that you haven't been to. So certainly I think to begin with, somewhere in Europe, I think there's still a lot of Europe to experience, and especially living in Glasgow and living in Scotland and realizing that most of the other countries, the other states in the EU are between 5 and 10 million, and they exist confidently and completely on their own. They'd be great to experience in them in anticipation of hopefully us getting the chance to kind of sort of rule ourselves in the not too distant future. So that would be great, but also just to not only visit the place I've been before, but also experience there's a whole other continents that I didn't touch on that particular trip that suddenly seem a lot more accessible now, having got that far, than places in Africa or getting over to the Americas suddenly seem less far away. However big the world seems traveling it day by day, you know, sort of mile by mile, you also realise just how accessible and close we all are, and how each other's lives impact on each other, and how our common goals, our common humanity are there, which sounds really grand, but there was a lot of time staring out the window as we were trundling along, so there's a chance to kind of think about these things, and to keep that going would be an awesome experience as well.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Oh gosh, quite talkative maybe. Easygoing, quite relaxed, maybe a bit too relaxed sometimes, a little too easygoing sometimes, but yeah, kind of sort of nice person. Excited by the football, glad that the football season's started up again. It's nice to see Queen's Park come on the Spiders. Glasgow's oldest team, but you know, unfortunately the lowest one down in the leagues. But yes, yeah, just kind of fun and easygoing person. That enjoys doing daft things like this. Certainly this sits very comfortably within the kind of other things. Maybe every theatre arts administrator is a frustrated performer, and now this is me having my my chance to get centre stage after doing all those spreadsheets and working out all those sort of tour itineraries. Maybe this is my chance to kind of sort of hog the limelight for a little bit. Although coming on after Dracula is going to be a bit of a performance to kind of keep up with, but it's a fun experience. And Anthony Gormley, when we travel down from Scotland down to England, go past the Angel of the North, always try and look out for it as it kind of whiz past on the train or on the bus. So it gets a really exciting project and a little departure for him, but also something that fits in wholly with what he's about and what he does. So it's an exciting thing to be one of the people taking part today.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
Gosh, mostly I guess myself. There's quite personal reasons I suppose I've been alluding to, but it's fun for my friends realising just how many people back home in Glasgow are logging on to have a look at me. So suddenly I realise I've got an audience there, which should be quite entertaining. And the other thing I was thinking about is a family connection with this square was that my mum's mum from Edinburgh, she actually ran away from home when she was very young, back in what was the 1920s, late 1920s, early 30s. She ran away from home, she fell out with her dad and turned up, and the first place she stayed in London was actually a flat overlooking Trafalgar Square. And she stayed here for a bit and then moved out of town and worked in a print factory for about a couple of years, which are these kind of sort of quiet years that she didn't really talk about too much. I think I heard more of the stories than maybe some other people did in the family, but she was there, and then she heard about her father being poorly, and then she moved back to Scotland, met my granddad, and settled down. I have my mum and a brother and sister, but it's kind of fun to kind of be down here. And every time I turn up Trafalgar Square, then there's always a thought of that period of time. She was quite an incredible person that did a lot of amazing things, and it was fun to be here today and think about her as well.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I don't know if you've got any more information about that. How does it feel to be retracing your grandmother's footsteps when you're down in Trafalgar Square and studying down in London?
It was fun, yeah. So it was quite interesting, I guess. The thing that always struck me about London is when I was 18 and moving away from home in a small town and being the first person from my family to go to uni, it felt like a big leap. And actually now, Corby interviews Pursuit was a question which said, what's the largest town in Europe without a mainline train station? But recently Corby has got a train station, which was great, which was how I travelled down today. And so suddenly now it seems very near. So what was, you know, sort of 20 years ago, a big leap to come to London and go to uni. What's interesting coming back today and thinking about the big invention my gran had, I guess, you know, when she was like early 20s, was London's not that far away. And what's interesting is that my younger cousins talk about London in a very different way than I do. I never dreamt of coming to London, you know, when I was younger, before I moved here to go to uni. And now it's a lot nearer, and things like transport links make a big difference. And seeing that when you travel between places, you realise just how close they are, I think is a big step towards, you know, appreciating that. And so I do regret not having visited London and going to see lots of bands and stuff when I was kind of sort of in my teenage years before moving here. So there's, yeah, it's embarrassing almost how easy it is to get here from Corby when I made such a show of moving all that distance to come to study. It's quite fun to realise that.
And how does it feel now to be down on Trafalgar Square? What's the emotional journey been from applying in the first place, being accepted, preparing, travelling down, and now being here just half an hour before you go up on the plinth?
It was interesting. It's one of those things where you kind of sort of sign up for something and then forget about it. And then I kind of sort of think about things a lot, but only to sort of dwell in them. But it was just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. That'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting experience to have without really thinking too much about it. And this is a bit like the trip as well. I kind of sort of knew what I was letting myself in for, but hadn't really, all I was interested in is getting here. So getting here to get on the bus, getting here to talk to you and then go up on there. So I haven't really thought too much beyond that. I'll experience it as it happens. And that'll be it. But of course, you spend your time telling other people. So it's quite interesting, the response I used to get. I kind of knew I was doing something quite remarkable by going on this overland trip, but it always sort of confounded me when someone would go, oh my God, that's amazing, that's incredible. You're the guy that's doing that mad thing. And it's not quite the same, but it's interesting, the response was very similar when I started telling people about that. So I think there's a lot of people that sort of at work trying to sneak off and have a wee look at me in the next hour online. His friends, I think there's only three of them in the office, so they're actually stopping work, I think, for maybe not a whole hour. It depends how interesting I am while I'm up there, but certainly sort of paying attention. So there's quite a lot of people going, that's really cool, that's really interesting, and kind of forget that sometimes, that you do something which seems, you know, okay to you, but, you know, remembering that it is kind of a fun thing to do. And so I'm quite excited about that. So I'm looking forward to not just the experience being up there, but also maybe next week and helping that. But I am going to put the hat around because as I was coming in today, the community police person, I didn't dismount from my bike quick enough. And so I got stopped and fined £30 for cycling in Trafalgar Square, despite the fact that I was just about to get off. Obviously, I didn't get off quick enough. So maybe I should try and put the cap out for all the people who are watching today online to help me pay this fine. And I've just photocopied it a little bit bigger, so we'll certainly share that experience with people up on the plinth as a way, some of the obstacles that you need to get over to experience the city, you know, by bike. You know, you have to stay within, you know, the rules that are set out by the City of Westminster Council.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.